We love having people from Zanies that come to town, and we got a guy today who I'm just fascinated in his career and what he's done, what he's accomplished. Now, if you tape the Breaking Bad and it runs over, you would see this guy who's probably much screen time as Walter White did back in the day. And also, if you watch The Walking Dead, The Talking Dead that comes on after, which is a must watch as much as the show is, let's welcome Chris Hardwick in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Are you amazed how popular you became? You're already popular anyway, but after the Breaking Bad and Walking Dead and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea that you could talk about another show and have that be a show.
Yeah.
People rightfully made fun of that. And it was a weird thing that I never thought would be bigger than just like a core group of nerds who really, you know. But what it sort of made me realize, what it made us realize is like, oh, yeah, you know, everything kind of has a community, you know. People need a little bit of therapy.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's like the sports shows have been doing it since sports shows.
That's
it's
right.
Like your wrap-up show. We got to process this. We got to break it down. We got to make you feel okay. We got to let you vent, you know. And that's basically what it was. It was this sort of scripted version of the like post-show analysis.
What was the one you did in the cemetery? Was that at the end of Breaking Bad?
Well, actually, we did both.
Okay.
We did the very last episode of Breaking Bad. We did it at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And then the first episode of season 7, I think, or 8, maybe season 8, we did at Walking Dead at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
That was the most amazing, because in TV we used the word live shot. That was the most amazing remote I've ever seen in my life.
It was really fun and really creepy because it never rains in Los Angeles.
Right.
And there was not rain forecasted, and it started raining the minute we came on the air. And everyone thought we were all going to be electrocuted. It's like, oh my God, don't electrocute Rick Grimes! And then it stopped raining as soon as we were done. But that was the episode where some people on the show didn't make it, as it often happens. And so it was, you know, if you're a Walking Dead fan, it was an emotional episode.
Are you amazed the AMC franchise now, the run it's been on with Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, now Talking Dead, that just, and you being a large part of it, multi-year AMC?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, I mean, anytime something is successful in entertainment, it's surprising.
Yeah.
Because it's shocking that anything ever gets made, and it's shocking that anything ever gets made and is good, and then it's shocking that anyone watches. You just don't know, you know? It's like you make stuff that you like, and if you're lucky enough, people watch it and you get to make more of it, you know? But most of the time, that just does not, you know, it's sort of like, your batting average in television is maybe like, if 10% of the things you work on make it through, you're doing great.
But your stand-up comedy makes it, and that's another thing that you have in your repertoire. I mean,
yeah.
How much fun is that?
That's the best. That's what has always been my favorite thing. It's always why I wanted to work in television, just so that people would see me and go, hey, maybe we should go see that guy tell wiener jokes.
Can you do that? I want to do
tenders.
That.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, there are a handful of clubs in the country that are just like really legendary, amazing clubs, and Zanies is one of those clubs. And you go in there and you just see like all these headshots on the wall from, you know, the 70s and 80s, and you just,
yes.
It's just like, it's a museum of comedy, that place.
What's funny to you? Do you tell stories? Do you tell, because I know a lot of comedians that come through here, they stay away from politics, some embrace politics.
I don't like politics because I don't like anything that divides people.
Sure.
And the second you open your mouth about politics, half the people are like, yeah, and then half the people are like, screw your face. And I just don't like, I don't like that. I like silly stuff, but I tell stories that are sort of rooted in things that happen. And, you know, I've started doing weird songs on stage because I just like weird stuff. I mean, I do talk a bit about Walking Dead. I do talk about a lot of nerd stuff, but in general, I just like silliness. I talk to the audience, like I like riff with the audience for a big chunk of it. So it's just sort of fun. Like, I just want people to have a fun experience for, you know, an hour and a half.
Chris Hardwick with us tonight at 7 o'clock, Friday 7 to 9:15. Ditto those times for Saturday night as well. I was just looking at the bio up on Zanies. Comedian, actor, TV host, author, writer, producer, podcaster, pop culture enthusiast.
That's true.
Nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You've really the nerd third franchise, you've really sort of hitched your wagon to that, too.
It's just so funny that it's considered a franchise, because it's like, it was just the stuff I was into, you know, when I was growing up, and it was never anything that anyone cared about before. I mean, you couldn't really, when I was growing up, it's not like you could really talk in depth about action figures or Doctor Who or anything like that. And now, because of social media and because, you know, things like Avengers make $2 billion, people are talking about it like it's a, you know, but to me, whether or not it was popular, it's just, I would talk about it anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's sort of like if you're a sports fan, you like your team, whether or not everyone likes your team, you're just into the thing you're into. And yeah, it's kind of that way with me.
I'm looking, I remember the Comedy Central show, Midnight, right?
At Midnight, yes.
That was, I don't say that put you on the map, but that opened you to a whole new audience, I would think.
It did. I mean, I've been working in television for 25 years, and but At Midnight was probably the most me show that we ever did, because it was basically like a fake game show that made really inappropriate jokes about stuff that happened on the internet with comedians.
Right.
So it was a fake game show. All the contestants were great comedians. And so it was just like, you know, 1,000 jokes per show about dumb stuff we found on the internet. I mean, that it was my favorite. It was probably my favorite television job I've ever had.
So do you rest at all? Because you have your NBC show, The Wall, which it comes up June 20th here locally on Channel 4, a shameless plug. So have you already taped those, or is it an ongoing process? Do you have to tape more when you go back to L.A.?
No, we taped like 20 episodes in like 10 days. I mean, you tape a bunch at once.
Right.
Because it's more cost-effective to do it. They have to build The Wall, which is this four-story monolith that you get vertigo when you look up at it, and so it's just like they can't. It's just too much money for them to do that. And also finding the contestants and so we just do it all at once. So we do a year's worth of episodes, you know. So they'll probably run 10 episodes in June and then 10 episodes later on in the year, and then, you know, if people watch it, then we'll go make more.
I think it's a great show. LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron was one of the executive producers, and he's really nice. Like it, you know, for a guy that is like where he is, if he was kind of a jerk, you'd be like, I get it, you know, like, but he's not. He's a legitimately nice guy, and always has been to me.
When he called you, did he call you on the phone like, Chris, LeBron? You're like, yeah, right, click. Is that one of those things?
No, I didn't. We the first time we met was at a meeting or a press junket or something, and, you know, like when LeBron's company is responsible for the show. I mean, I've probably talked to Maverick Carter more than I've talked to LeBron.
Right.
But because when basketball season's on, LeBron is focused on that, and it's not, you know, I can't be like, hey, what should I do about, you know, how the balls turn green on our show? You know, like, I can't, you don't really bother him. But he's great, you know, and it's been a really, I never thought, like, the fact that a game show could make someone cry is insane to me. But you get so sucked in with these people, and the same thing that makes you love them makes it really hard when they lose.
The guy that did the showers for homeless people.
Yes, yes.
I came close to get to cry because that guy had a heart of gold.
He did. He basically he had these mobile shower units that he would set up, and his theory which worked was, you know, if we allow people to feel clean and accepted and taken care of, then it will elevate their self-esteem and then help them, you know, sort of fold back into society.
Yes.
And he's done, and like everyone who comes on the show has a story like that.
Right.
You know, there's, I think the first episode back, there's a woman who survived the Boston bombing, and she has a prosthetic leg, and she comes, you know, bouncing out, and she's like, I'm so blessed, I'm so thankful to be alive, and you see people who either contribute so much of their own society to their own communities, or have overcome incredible odds to be so inspiring, and you fall in love with them, and you're like, oh, that's right, that's what good people are like. I need to be better.
Here, just take my wallet.
Yeah, take. Yeah, when they don't win, I'm like, here's the keys to my car, please. I'm sorry. You should have had something. I can't help it. I don't control this.
Chris Hardwick with us tonight at 7 and Friday and Saturday, 7 and 9 and 15, both nights with us. Born in Louisville, raised in Memphis?
Correct.
Yeah?
Yep. And so before the show, we were, you know, I wasn't trash talking Memphis. I love Memphis, but someone was saying, like, should I go there? And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, like, you could go to Graceland, you could go to Beale Street, you could go to the Pink Palace Museum. Like, there's stuff to see. But, you know, like, I it's special to me because I'm from there, but but it's hard for me to say, like, is it a city that if someone just I mean, I guess so. There's a lot of roots. There's a lot of music roots there. There's a lot of, you know, stuff there. You know, I do love Nashville, though. I really love Nashville.
Well, you're welcome to your time. By the way, we do our research by Wikipedia. We found out you're the Memphis City Junior High School chess champion.
That is actually one thing that is true on Wikipedia. I do still have that trophy. And
congratulations.
It's the only trophy I have. You know, no sports trophies on my shelf.
Did you beat out Justin Timberlake for that?
I did not beat out Justin. No, no, he's younger than I am, so I would have he would have been very young at that time. But, you know, maybe the Timberlake-Hardwick chess match, the thing that people have been clamoring for, could finally happen.
Could you play, if we put a chess set in front of you, could you play today?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still play. But, you know, Justin, the thing about Memphis, my dad was a professional bowler. So I grew up on the Pro Bowlers Tour. My dad opened a bowling center in Memphis in 1980, 81. And so I'm pretty sure, like, Justin's had part, like, it's a pretty legendary place in Memphis,
right,
to go to Billy Hardwick's All-Star Lanes, just for a plug.
Well, I mean, but he was, I mean, you talk about it. I'm just reading, you talk about Wikipedia, the first PBA career triple crown,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The U.S. Open, the PBA National Championship, and the Tournament of Champions, he won.
Yeah, my dad retired at like 34, really young, and he still is, you know, was voted as like the 12th greatest bowler in the history of bowling.
Wow.
And so, you know, if he had continued, who knows how much more he would have achieved. But I grew up, I was named after Chris Schenkel, who was the commentator for bowling. Bowling is in my...
I think it wasn't Schenkel.
Yeah, Schenkel.
Chris.
Schenkel Hardwick. But it, you know, and it like, I don't, you know, I wonder where people fall on the, like, is bowling a sport? Like, I think it is, you know, requires a, some people are like, no, it's a hobby. I'm like, well, it's a sport, you know? It's like,
it's a hobby. Yeah.
It's like darts, hobby, sport. It's a hobby. Well, no, it's a sport. Like, people, you know,
it's
like,
effort. You got to have effort to do that.
Yeah, you have to have skill. It's competitive. I think people make the same money in bowling they made when my dad was on the tour in the 60s and 70s, but it's still like, it's still good, you know? Bowling's great.
Now, could you live up to the bowling name if you had to?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm a good bowler.
Look at you.
I'm good at bowling and I'm good at chess, which are two things that are not considered bragging. So I don't feel bad saying that.
Oh, man. All right, so we always do this when we got people come on the show that are famous like yourself. You went to St. Benedict at Auburndale High School, right?
Yeah, it was Auburndale when I went there, and then it got bought by the Catholic Church.
Well, you'll like this, because you go to the Wikipedia page for famous alumni, there's one person. It's you.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's
so congratulations.
Take that, guy who stuffed me in a trash can for playing D&D in sixth grade.
Oh, man. So then you went to another high school, correct, in Colorado?
I went to, yeah, we moved a lot. Mm-hmm.
And then for the first time ever on the show, we have a double notable alumni from a school, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
At the school and the other one, and now this one here with in Colorado.
Regis.
Now, I'm trying to think famous people that went there with you. You're there, and I'm trying to get anybody else that kind of stands out. And
the answer's no.
The answer is no. But there are some people that have made it in the athletic world, but you're there, Chris.
Oh, by the way, it's Thursday, right, at Billy Hardwick Bowling Lanes?
Yeah.
$5 Cosmic Bowling every Thursday night.
Oh, my, what a great
night.
That's
so,
right.
You know,
I was casually going to bring that up in conversation, but I'm so glad that that was completely unprompted at all. It was just, you just knew that. You just knew that off the top of your, oh, there's a video camera, so we can't. Ah, damn. Can't fool anyone into thinking that seeing your laptop's right
we
there.
We want to hang out with you, Chris. You get bowling, chess, you're on TV all the time. And we might be like, what's the entourage? You need a couple of fat guys with you, and here we are.
All I'm saying is the chess groupies may not... be the same as the Entourage television show groupies. So as long as you're okay with that.
He's one of the bowling groupies.
Oh, he's one of the bowling groupies, yeah.
Yeah, they like to party, man. So Penny beer, we got all that, man.
Cosmic bowling, yeah.
Go back to the AMC stuff that you did.
Yes, sir.
Breaking Bad, were you a fan before you got the call to do all that stuff?
Definitely. I mean, Breaking Bad and Walking Dead, you know, there were shows that changed television. Walking Dead was such a big thing for genre television because it was this thing that I think they expected to be like, oh, this will have like a nice niche audience.
Right.
And it went totally mainstream. And Breaking Bad was very niche for the first few years. And then when it hit Netflix, then people really like started binge watching it, like, oh my God, this is like the greatest show in the history of television. And so, yeah, I mean, I was a huge fan of both. And I think that's why our after shows work is because it's not a job to me. Like, I legitimately love the shows and I'm legitimately a fan of them. And so, you know, it really just sort of feels like I'm like a therapist for these shows that where a lot of really dramatic stuff happens.
You're right.
And people need to process it a little bit, and I just tell them everything's going to be okay.
The one where I don't care, it's been 8 years now. If you haven't seen it, that's on you, where Hank dies.
Someone's still going to be like, spoilers!
Hank died?
You had 8 years.
I needed you after that one. When Hank died, I needed somebody in my life, and I needed Chris Hardwick at that moment.
God, that was rough. Oh, my God. When he finds the Walt Whitman book, and you just know, like...
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, he's sitting on the commode.
You just see the ticking clock start. You're like, this guy's not going to make it.
Were they all so, when they came on with you afterwards, I remember Aaron Paul came on. Were they all as nice as we hoped them to be?
Oh, my. Yes. And, you know, everyone on that show is just the nicest, you know, because I think they were all like, they had all been around the business for a while, and I think they all understand how special that show was. Mm-hmm. And Bryan Cranston's a guy who's been on everything for decades, and he was a guy, well, obviously people knew him from Malcolm in the Middle as this, he did comedies, but he did a lot of comedies before.
Wow.
A lot of broad comedy. And he did a lot of sitcoms, a lot of sitcom pilots didn't make it. And, you know, Vince Gilligan just had the presence of mind. Vince put a lot of comedy people in the show, and they just brought a certain depth to the characters. Because the show wasn't a comedy, but there were funny things about it.
Sure.
And Cranston is just such a good guy and so appreciative to be able to play that role. And everyone else had the same attitude. Aaron Paul is just sweetest. They're all great.
I'm looking at more of the... Because I got wrapped up in all that with The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and the fact that you were part of both of that.
I mean, people...
I should give you money. You were my therapist.
Okay. Yes. You know, if anyone who's been in the business for any period of time knows that it's just you're really lucky to have a show that people watch that you get to keep making. And, you know, and if you take that for granted, then screw you. You know what I mean? Like, we're so lucky to be able to do what we do that, you know, and a lot of people, thankfully, know that. And so, yeah, they're all really great people.
And did you, the Red Nose Day, was that last, you did this year, last year? No, this year
was pre-taped, okay. And I think it was more of a musical episode, but the last 2 years it was live. And yeah, the Red Nose Days were always really fun.
It looks intense, too. There's a lot that's going on.
Lot of moving parts in that to make a live show. We put Bryan Cranston in a dunk tank 1 year. If we raised a certain amount of money, we dropped him in water, so we did. It was great.
Yes.
You know, yeah, they were fun.
Chris Hardwick is our guest. You can catch him at Zany's tonight at 7. Tomorrow night, 2 shows, 7 to 9:15. Those same times Saturday night as well. We're going to take a break and want to talk about you being a DJ
in
L.A.
Yeah.
Is that sort of some of the break started from that a little bit? We'll talk about that
after
the break.
Sure.
Chris Hardwick is our guest.
We'll be right back.
Call the Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show now. 615-844-5600.
Pug Big Joe, Crazy Charlie, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Goggin Cold Hall Studios. We're going to be broadcasting from Goggin Cold Hall down in Smyrna tomorrow, 9 until 11. Chris Hardwick is our guest. He is at Zany's tonight at 7, and tomorrow and Saturday night, two shows each, 7 and 9:15. A DJ. It was a KROQ?
K-Rock in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Is that sort of the start of things for you? Were some doors open for you through that? Or
no.
No, okay.
I worked, and mainly because I worked the overnight show. So, you know, where it's like they don't even track ratings between midnight and 5, you know, but...
That's good for us.
I was working at MTV in the 90s. I did a show called Singled Out, which was a dating show. And... By weird chance, I got hired by K-Rock around the same time. So I was working at MTV by day, and I was working K-Rock at night. And in the 90s, K-Rock was... You know, like it was an alternative station, so it was... It like Nirvana, Soundgarden, like grunge, like everything... You know, they were leading the charge for that. They were kind of defining music at that time. And then, so it was a really exciting time to be there. I miss radio, and I think that's probably why I started doing a podcast, like, you know, 9 years ago, because I missed just being able to talk, you know. So, yeah, radio is very, very special to me.
I'm looking at your stuff. When do you get downtime?
My wife and I just went to Italy. We got downtime.
Did you get recognized over there?
No.
Really?
Oh, it's the guy from it's the Walking Dead, the guy. No, because they don't. There's no Italian Talking Dead.
God.
No. So I did not.
It's funny. I'm a huge Dana Carvey fan.
Oh yeah.
His Netflix special. He talks about taking his kids and wife to Italy, and he says his wife studied Italian for like a year. Gets over there, nobody understands it, so he does the accent.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a hot in here, and he's like, they understood what he was talking about. So you do that. That's great.
That's really funny. That's really funny. I mean, I also studied Italian. Like, I studied Italian too, so I speak it. But you do sometimes, you accidentally, because I think it's just a human thing to mimic so that you like fit in. And so when you don't know words, it's like, oh, non ho parlato di, what is the word for, you know, and they don't think you're not making fun of them, and they don't flinch because they're like, oh, the word is a pizza, you know, like they say it back that way. So, you know, you're just fitting in.
Oh man.
Yeah. Oh. But it's great over there. It's really great. So I got downtime there, and you know, like I like to work. I don't...
Because the alternative is not good.
No, and right? You know, and it's so hard in this business because, again, you just don't know. Nothing is guaranteed. You don't know. Jobs come and go. And so when you get stuff, you really tend to hold on to it, and you want to be able to do it as much as possible.
Like Greg's always said, when somebody asks you to do something, do it, because there'll become a time when they won't ask you.
That's right. Yeah. And then that's no fun. And you're like, how come no one's asking me? Like, oh, you didn't want to do this before, but I want to do it now. Well, too bad.
Do we still have more Walking Dead coming out? Is that thing ever going to end?
I mean, if it does, I don't know when. I mean, season 10 starts in October, probably, usually starts in October. Fear of the Walking Dead, the spinoff show, starts back this weekend on Sunday. And then I think they're working on a third Walking Dead show. I think they're working on some films with Andy Lincoln. So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, much in the way that when you have a hit, when you're working on a show, you don't want it to go away. AMC has a hit franchise, and they probably don't want it to go away. You know, I mean, it's a phenomenon. That show was a phenomenon.
Season one, spoiler again, I don't care if people know this, but when the guy whispers in Rick's ear that we're all infected.
Yeah, I mean, that's season one, so people.
You better watch it by now. Yeah. I was enthralled. I'm like, oh my God,
they're all infected?
Yeah.
We're all infected.
Really? Yeah, so, you know, listen, Game of Thrones... They went away. They let you down as fans. Walking Dead, we're not going anywhere.
I like the fact they never called them zombies.
That's the only thing that is was built into the mythology of the show is that if they knew what zombies were, they could have been prepared.
Right.
So they can't know what zombies are. That's the only big difference. And also that there are zombies in their world.
Can we keep Chris all day and just hang out with him?
Go right ahead. Well, I tell you, I would suggest going to Zany's tonight at 7, tomorrow and Saturday at 7 or 9:15. Hell, go to all five shows if you want to.
And if you're from Italy, come to Zany's at 7 o'clock. They get the pizza balls. You like balls that are a pizza. They're delicioso. Okay. I'm sorry you guys didn't understand what I was just speaking Italian.
Same to you, buddy. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by. Chris Hardwick.
Thanks, guys.
Zany's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Catch him there. We'll be back in here. Well, we're going to be at Gog and Cold all tomorrow morning. Johnny Ballpark this afternoon at 4.